On board the Starship Enterprise, preparations for a ceremony are underway. Crew members, mostly young couples, are assembling in a chapel. Yeoman Rand is lighting candles, and Scotty is adjusting a camera as Kirk comes in.
The ceremony will be carried on all viewing screens, sir.
Good.
McCoy.
There's a call for you from the bridge.
Smiling, Kirk goes over to an intercom.
Kirk here.
Still no answer from Earth outpost number 2, Captain. And now number 3's gone silent.
Kirk glances at a young female crewman at the door.
Maintain course to outpost 4. Keep me informed. Kirk out.
He goes to a lectern in front of the table where Janice has been lighting candles. Scotty gives his arm to the young woman at the door. Scotty leads the woman, who's in a standard gold Starfleet uniform but wears a small feathered headdress in her hair, towards Kirk at the lectern, where she's joined by a handsome young crewman.
Since the days of the first wooden vessels, all shipmasters have had one happy privilege, that of uniting two people in the bonds of matrimony. And so we are gathered here today with you, Angela Martine, and you, Robert Tomlinson, in the sight of your fellows, in accordance with our laws and our many beliefs, so that you may pledge your...
Alert! Alert! All decks, alert! 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 Captain to the bridge! All decks, alert!
Kirk here.
Earth Outpost 4 reports they're under attack. A space vessel, identity unknown.
Full ahead. All decks, condition red.
Everyone hurries to their posts.
All decks, condition red. All decks, condition red.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. Balance of Terror.
Captain's log, stardate 1709.2. Patrolling outposts guarding the neutral zone between planets Romulus and Remus and the rest of the galaxy received emergency call from Outpost 4. The USS Enterprise is moving to investigate and assist.
Outpost 4 reported under attack, sir. Then message terminates.
Verified, Captain. Our speed is now maximum, sir.
Spock vacates the captain's chair.
Position 8 minutes from Outpost 4 at this velocity, sir.
Kirk glances at the view screen.
Scotty, I've already talked to my engine room, sir. We'll get more speed out of it.
The captain goes up to Lieutenant Uhura at her communications console.
Did Outpost 4 give anything at all on the attacking vessel, Lieutenant?
No identification, sir.
There can't be much doubt who's attacking, sir.
Kirk glances sharply at the lieutenant at navigation.
Mr. Spock, put this star sector on our screen.
A map shows a line of 7 Earth outpost stations guarding a neutral zone at the edge of the Romulan Star Empire.
Now show our position.
A flashing blip indicates the position of the Enterprise, still a long way from the first of the outposts.
Signal this to all decks, Lieutenant.
All decks standing by, sir.
This is the captain speaking.
In our next action, we can risk neither miscalculation nor error
by any man aboard. Listen carefully. Science officer.
Referring to the map on your screens, you will note beyond the moving position of our vessel, a line of Earth outpost stations. Constructed on asteroids, they monitor the neutral zone established by treaty after the Earth-Romulan conflict of over a century ago.
As you may recall from your histories, this conflict was fought by our standards today with primitive atomic weapons and in primitive space vessels,
which allowed no quarter
no captives. Nor was there even ship-to-ship visual communication. Therefore, no human, Romulan, or ally has ever seen the other. Earth believes the Romulans to be warlike, cruel, treacherous. And only the Romulans know what they think of Earth. The treaty set by subspace radio established this neutral zone, entry into which by either side would constitute an act of war. The treaty has been unbroken since that time. Captain?
What you do not know and must now be told is that my command orders on this subject are precise and inviolable. No act, no provocation will be considered sufficient reason to violate the zone. We may defend ourselves, but if necessary, to avoid interspace war, both these outposts and this vessel will be considered expendable. Captain, now.
He gets up.
We know Outpost 4 has been attacked, sir, so if we intercept Romulans now...
After a whole century, what will a Romulan ship look like, Mr. Stiles? I doubt if they'll radio and identify themselves.
You'll know, sir. They're painted like a giant bird of prey.
I had no idea that history was your specialty.
Family history. There was a Captain Stiles in the space service then. Two commanders, several junior officers. All lost in that war, sir.
Their war, Mr. Stiles. Not yours. Don't forget it.
Yes, sir. Outpost 2 coming into sensor range, Captain.
Outpost 2 was the first to go silent, Lieutenant?
Yes, Captain. Then Outpost 3, an hour later.
Sweeping the area of Outpost 2. Sensor reading indefinite. Double-checking Outpost 3. I read dust and debris. Both Earth outposts gone. And the asteroids they were constructed on... pulverized.
Kirk goes back to the captain's chair with a pensive frown. Sulu glances at Lieutenant Stiles sitting alongside him at the con. The navigator is noticeably tense.
Open a channel to our nearest command base. Quarter-hour reports on our position and status.
Yes, sir.
All battle stations, Mr. Sulu.
Battle stations. All hands to battle stations. Battle stations. Battle stations. All decks acknowledge. All decks acknowledge, sir. All stations show green.
Energize main phases, Mr. Stiles. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power. Phaser control room. Energize. Acknowledge.
Phaser control acknowledging. All weapons energizing to full.
Happy wedding day. Almost.
You won't get off my hook this easily. I'm gonna marry you, mister. Battle or phaser weapons notwithstanding.
Well, meanwhile, temporarily at least, I'm still your superior officer. So get with it, mister.
Our weapons show ready.
Starboard and midship weapons show ready.
Acknowledge. All weapons batteries ready.
Outpost 4 now, 5 minutes away, sir. And showing on my sensors, Captain. At least it's still there.
Sir, regaining contact with Outpost 4. Switching to speakers.
Outpost 4, do you read me, Enterprise? This is Commander Hansen.
Kirk here. We're minutes away, Hansen. What's your status?
Outpost 2, 3, and 8 are gone. Unknown weapon. Completely destroyed, even though we were alerted. Had our deflector shield on maximum. Hit by enormous power. First attack blew our deflector shield. If they hit us again with our deflector shield gone... Do you read me, Enterprise?
Confirm what hit you, Hansen. What vessel? Identity?
Space vessel. Only glimpse of...
Can you locate the intruder for us?
Negative. It seems to have disappeared somehow. I have you on my screen now, switching to visual.
Tie us in.
Tied in, sir.
Everyone looks at the screen. The command post of Earth Outpost 4 comes into view. The room is in flames. Commander Hansen stands at his console, his gold Starfleet uniform charred, his face grimed with smoke.
Enterprise, can you see it? My command post here. We're a mile deep. On an asteroid, almost solid iron. And even through our deflectors, it did this. Can you see?
Affirmative. You're visual, Hansen. What do you have in the intruder?
No identification. No answer to our challenge. Only a glimpse of And then it fired something at us. Some form of high-energy plasma. Fantastic power. And then the whole vessel disappeared. But it's out there somewhere. Our sensors show that much. Enterprise, something coming on our viewing screen. Coming at us fast.
Lock us under your screen.
Switching. Can you see it, Enterprise? Can you see it? Becoming visible in the center of my screen.
Do you have phaser capacity? We're still out of range.
Negative. Phaser's gone. Weapons crew's at.
Make challenge. Warn that ship off.
Trying to, sir. They don't acknowledge.
A red ball of plasma shoots from the attacking spaceship. Commander Hansen opens his mouth in a silent scream. The bridge crew shield their eyes. Kirk looks up at the screen. The attacking spaceship simply vanishes, leaving only an image of the advancing starfield as the Enterprise rushes towards the outpost. Everyone on the bridge stares at the empty view screen in shock and disbelief. Spock sits down at his station and checks the readings on the various sensors in front of him.
Outpost 4. Disintegrated, Captain.
Position of the intruder, Mr. Spock?
Disappeared. Interesting how they became visible for just a moment.
When they opened fire. Perhaps necessary when they use the weapons.
Have a blip on the motion sensor, Captain. Could be the intruder.
Go to full magnification.
Screen is on full mag, sir.
I don't see anything.
He stands beside Spock at his console.
Can't understand it.
Invisibility is theoretically possible, Captain. The selective bending of light, but the power cost is enormous. They may have solved that problem.
Continuing to challenge, sir. Still no response.
Discontinue. Contact remaining outposts, have them signal us. Any sightings or sensor readings in their area?
Yes, Captain.
Blip has changed his heading, Captain. And in a very leisurely maneuver. They may not be aware of us.
Their invisibility screen may work both ways. With that kind of power consumption, they may not be able to see us.
His heading is now 111, Mark 14. The exact heading a Romulan vessel would take, Jim, toward the neutral zone and home.
Sulu and Stiles both turn from their positions at the con and look at their captain. Kirk steps down into the well of the bridge.
Parallel course.
Don't you mean interception course, sir?
Negative. You and Mr. Sulu will match course and speed with the object on our sensors. Exactly. Move for move. If he has sensors, I want him to think that we're a reflection, an echo. Under no circumstances are you to cross into the neutral zone without my direct orders.
Acknowledged, sir.
Cancel battle stations. All decks, stand by alert.
Cancel battle stations, sir.
Captain, may I respectfully remind the captain what has happened? The Romulans have crossed the neutral zone, attacked our outpost, killed our men.
Mr. Stiles.
Add to that the fact that it was a sneak attack.
Mr. Stiles, are you questioning my orders?
Negative, sir. I'm pointing out that we could have Romulan spies aboard this ship.
Kirk looks at him thoughtfully. Sulu turns round.
I agree, sir. Respectfully recommend all decks maintain security alert.
Very well. All decks, security alert.
Security alert, sir.
Picking up communication, sir. It's from their ship.
Pipe it in.
Sounds like code, sir.
I have a fix on it, Captain.
Kirk hurries over.
I believe I can lock on it. Get a picture of their bridge.
Put it on the screen.
Kirk walks towards the forward view screen. Everyone watches as Spock gets a fix on the signal from the Romulan ship's bridge. A tall humanoid figure in a dark uniform and close-fitting gold helmet goes up to his commander, salutes, and leaves. The commander turns. Stiles stands and stares. The Romulan commander has a straight fringe of jet black hair, dark slanting eyebrows, and pointed ears. Stiles turns accusingly to Spock. The Vulcan science officer raises his dark slanting eyebrows quizzically and looks at the cruel face on the screen. the Enterprise shadows the Romulan warship towards the neutral zone. At the con, Lieutenant Stiles gives Spock's back a prolonged, hostile stare. Spock turns round. Kirk walks past, tapping the nav console to bring Stiles' attention back to his work. He goes towards Uhura.
Keep going.
Cryptography is working on it, sir.
Give it to Spock. Didn't quite get that, Mr. Stiles.
Nothing, sir.
Repeat it.
I was suggesting that Mr. Spock could probably translate it for you, sir.
I assume you're complimenting Mr. Spock on his ability to decode.
I'm not sure, sir.
Well, here's one thing you can be sure of, mister. Leave any bigotry in your quarters. There's no room for it on the bridge. Do I make myself clear?
You do, sir.
Stiles turns resentfully back to his controls. Spock raises one eyebrow.
Transmission has been cut off. I made a tape of it, sir.
Very well.
Spock puts the small, square, yellow data file into his computer. He frowns, listening. Sulu calls to Kirk.
Something visual ahead, Captain. At extreme range.
A ship appears in the distance.
He's changing course, sir.
Stay with him, Helm.
Turning, sir.
The Enterprise follows the Romulan warship. Its underside is decorated with a huge bird. On the bridge, the commander gazes into a small viewing screen with one of his subordinates.
Visible, attend the cloaking system.
It consumes much power, Commander, with no enemy to concern
us. That Earth outpost called to an Earth vessel, now it follows us.
Which neither retreats nor grows nearer, which turns as we turn. Commander, it is our judgment we run from a reflection.
Perhaps so, but my judgment prevails.
The gold-helmeted officer nods. The ship becomes invisible again.
Cloaking system on, sir.
A silver-haired Romulan Centurion comes onto the bridge.
It is good we approach the neutral zone. Not too soon for me to see the stars of home.
The commander turns to the newcomer.
I know they are following. But if an Earth ship, why does he not attack?
First, study the enemy. Seek weakness. If I were their commander, that is what I would do.
An officer comes up and salutes.
My commander sent for Decius.
A message was dispatched. You've broken the rule of silence.
Only in code, Commander, to inform our praetor of this glorious mission.
Your carelessness might have ended this glorious mission. You're reduced 2 steps in rank. Return to post.
Decius salutes, placing his fist over his heart, and goes. The Centurion places a hand on his commander's shoulder.
Take care, Commander. He has friends, and friends of his kind mean power, and power is danger.
Danger and I are old companions.
We've seen 100 campaigns together, and still I do not understand you.
I think you do. No need to tell you what happens the moment we reach home with proof of the Earthmen's weakness. And we will have proof. The Earth Commander will follow, he must. And when he attacks, we will destroy him. Our gift to the homeland, another war.
If we are the strong, is this not the signal for war?
Must it always be so? How many comrades have we lost in this way?
Our portion, Commander, is obedience.
Obedience? Duty. Death and more death. Soon even enough for the Praetor's taste. Centurion, I find myself wishing for destruction before we can return.
He turns with a derisive snort.
Were I not, like you, I'm too well trained in my duty to permit it. Continue evasive maneuvers. Now, back to the first course.
The Romulan commander leaves the bridge. On the Enterprise, Kirk stands beside Sulu at the helm.
They're turning, sir. We're staying with them.
Steady on 111 Mark 14. Back on their original course, Captain. Toward the neutral zone.
Kirk looks at the screen. There's nothing to be seen but the backdrop of distant stars. He goes towards Stiles.
What's our position, Navigator?
We'll enter the neutral zone in less than an hour, sir. Assuming, of course, that we don't turn back.
Kirk looks at him.
We now have aboard debris from Outpost 4, Captain.
Bring it to the briefing room. Are you ready, gentlemen?
In the briefing room, Captain Kirk, Scotty, McCoy, Stiles, and Sulu sit around the table. Spock shows them a piece of silver metallic debris.
From the Outpost Protective Shield. Cast rhodium. This is the hardest substance known to our science.
He crumbles it in his hand.
Lab theorizes an enveloping energy plasma, forcing an implosion.
Comments?
Obviously, their weaponry is superior to ours, and they have a practical invisibility screen.
You're discussing tactics. Do you realize what this really comes down to? Millions and millions of lives hanging on what this vessel does next.
Or on what this vessel fails to do, Doctor.
Yes, well, gentlemen, the question still remains. Can we engage them with a reasonable possibility of victory?
No question. Their power is simple impulse.
Meaning we cannot run them.
To be used in chasing them or retreating.
Sir. Go ahead, Mr. Stiles. I call this session for opinions.
We have to attack immediately.
Explain.
They're still on our side of the neutral zone. There would be no doubt that they broke the treaty.
Attack without a visible target. How do we aim our phasers?
Aim with sensors. Not accurate, but if we blanket them, we can...
And hope for a lucky shot before they zero in on us.
And if we don't, once back, they'll report that we saw their weapons and ran.
And if they could report that they destroyed us?
These are Romulans. You run away from them and you guarantee war. They'll be back, not just one ship, but with everything they've got. You know that, Mr. Science Officer. You're the expert in these people, but you've always left out that one point. Why? I'm very interested in why.
Sit down, mister.
Stiles glares at the captain and sits. Spock calmly rests his forearms on the desk and clasps his hands together.
I agree. Attack.
Are you suggesting we fight to prevent a fight?
Based on what? Memories of a war over a century ago? On theories about a people we've never even met face to face?
We know what they look like.
Yes, indeed we do, Mr. Stiles. And if the Romulans are an offshoot of my Vulcan blood, and I think this likely, then attack becomes even more imperative.
War is never imperative, Mr. Spock.
It is for them, Doctor. Vulcan, like Earth, had its aggressive, colonizing period. Savage, even by Earth standards. And if the Romulans retain this martial philosophy, then weakness is something we dare not show.
Do you want a galactic war on your conscience?
Everyone's eyes are on Kirk.
Captain DeBridge.
This is Uhura, Captain.
What's our position?
Course unchanged, sir. Estimating treaty boundary in 21 minutes.
Are you continuing to broadcast tactical reports?
Affirmative, Captain.
And at this distance?
Approximately 3 hours before receiving a reply to our first message.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Check our course ahead, Mr. Spock.
A comet magnitude 7, dead ahead. And the intruder changing course toward it.
Comet Icarus 4. Composition?
Quite ordinary. An ionized mass, a trail of frozen vapor particles.
And when an object passes through it, even an invisible object...
It leaves a visible trail.
Ah! Our chance, gentlemen. Prepare to attack. All hands battle stations.
Kirk and McCoy linger as the others leave.
I hope we won't need your services, Bones.
Amen to that. Taking a big gamble, Jim.
McCoy goes. Kirk follows him out and strides down the corridor with Lieutenant Sulu. Around them, the crew race to their positions. The long tail of a comet almost fills the forward view screen as the Enterprise speeds towards it in pursuit of the invisible Romulan warbird. Kirk gets up from the captain's chair.
Battle status. All stations band, Captain.
Phaser weapons energized. Set for proximity blast.
Intruder now bearing directly for comet's tail.
Plot is exact point of entry, Mr. Stiles.
Computed. On the board, sir.
The moment he begins entering the comet's tail, he becomes visible. End run, gentlemen. We'll swing around the other side and catch him at that moment.
Acknowledged, Captain.
He's maintaining that bearing, Captain.
Let's get him, Mr. Sulu.
The Romulan commander and his officers are also gazing at the comet.
How pleasing to the eye, Tess. Behold a marvel in the darkness.
You spoke of entrapment.
Its many particles will obscure their sensing device, Centurion.
We enter it, Commander.
The Commander steps away from the cramped central console.
Once fully obscured, we will turn suddenly back upon our adversary.
At last, the screen is clear, Commander.
Clear.
Our reflection no longer follows us.
Escape maneuver one, quickly!
The helmsman throws a lever and spins a wheel, and the crew hang on as the Romulan ship banks away violently. On the bridge of the Enterprise, the view screen is obscured by the comet's tail. Spock comes over to Kirk.
We're losing sensor contact.
Steady as she goes. Phaser crew's ready?
Phaser crew signal ready, sir.
He'll only be visible for a moment. Stand by.
They gaze at the plume of colored gas, ice, and debris obscuring the view screen. Slowly it clears, leaving them a view of the stars.
Sir, nothing yet.
The last moment, he must...
Must have guessed our move. Hard to starboard, help.
Hard to starboard.
He did exactly what I would have done. I won't underestimate him again. Now, fire blind, lay down a pattern.
Driver's pattern. All phasers fire.
Phaser one, fire.
Phaser one, fire.
Balls of light shoot out from the phaser banks. They explode ahead of the ship like depth charges. The Romulan crew brace themselves as the Warbird shakes.
Phaser two, fire.
Phaser two, fire.
In the Romulan ship, above the commander's head, a huge slab falls. The Centurion sees and pushes the commander out of the way, but is crushed himself. The commander and the crew rush to lift the wreckage off him. The commander looks up furiously.
Divert all power to weapons.
On the Enterprise, the emergency light flashes on the con. Kirk hurries over. Sulu looks at his readouts anxiously.
Phaser overload. Control circuit burnout.
Spock dives below the weapon substation and pulls open an access cover. Flames and smoke spew out. He douses them with his hands and assesses the damage.
It'll take time to correct, sir.
Captain, are they surrendering?
On the view screen, the Romulan warbird becomes visible. It's slowing down.
Full astern. Emergency warp speed.
A plasma torpedo bursts from the warbird.
Do we have emergency warp?
Full power, sir. It's still overtaking us.
The glowing red plasma sphere races towards the retreating vessel.
One phaser working, sir. One shot and detonate.
Navigation?
Estimated it'll overtake us in 2 minutes, sir.
Kirk glances at Spock by the access hatch.
Phasers, Mr. Spock.
Impossible, Captain.
Yeoman Rand comes up as Kirk's giving an order to a crewman.
Feed this to the space recorder and jettison immediately.
Captain, should I continue log entry?
Yeoman.
He turns away from her.
Affirmative. Continue log entry.
Yes, sir.
10 seconds to impact.
The blossoming plasma sphere almost fills the screen.
Captain. Dissipating, sir.
It must have a range limit.
Janice comes to stand directly behind Kirk. He puts a protective arm around her.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, impact.
The bridge crew hang on as the ship lurches violently.
Limited range.
In fire control, Tomlinson, Angela's fiancé, helps her up from the floor. On the bridge, Spock checks his repairs with a scanner and closes the access hatch.
Phaser's operational, Captain.
He checks his view screen.
Intruder bearing 111, Mark 14.
Back to his old course.
You may think we're destroyed, Captain.
I wouldn't make that assumption. I don't think their captain will either.
Intruder holding steady. Course 111, Mark 14.
Sulu turns round to look at the captain.
Same as before, Mr. Sulu.
Stay with it.
On the Romulan warbird, the commander bathes the head of the seriously wounded Centurion with a damp cloth.
Commander, the reflection returns.
Activate our cloak.
Commander, our fuel runs low.
Quickly!
Decius comes towards the commander, frowning.
The Earth vessel?
Impossible.
It moves as we move.
Its commander is not one to repeat a mistake.
On the Enterprise bridge, Spock leans over Stiles' shoulder, checking the navigator's readings. Stiles glances at him uncomfortably. Spock ignores the look.
We'll enter the neutral zone in 1 minute, Captain.
Do we violate the treaty, Captain?
They did, Doctor. Once inside, they can claim we did. A setup. They want war, we furnish the provocation.
We're still on our side, Captain.
Let's get them while we are. Before we enter the neutral zone. Full ahead, Mr. Sulu. Maximum warp.
Ahead, sir. Maximum.
Lasers, stand by.
Sir, at this distance?
We know their Achilles heel, Mr. Stiles. Their weapon takes all their energy. They must become visible in order to launch it.
A phaser hit at this distance would be the wildest stroke of luck.
I'm aware of that, Mr. Stiles. Are phasers ready?
Phasers show ready, sir.
Commander!
Evasive action. The Earth ship again.
The phaser banks fire, exploding far ahead of the Enterprise. The Romulan vessel rocks from the shock waves. Stiles checks the Enterprise's position.
20 seconds to neutral zone, sir.
Lieutenant Uhura, inform command base. In my opinion, no option. On my responsibility, we are proceeding into the neutral zone. Steady as we go, Mr. Sulu. Continue firing.
The Romulan commander, kneeling beside the Centurion, ignores the blasts.
Commander, they stay within range.
Decius comes over.
I will tend to the Centurion.
No need.
Centurion is dead.
Why don't we fire, Commander?
No. No, he's shrewd, this starship commander. He tries to make us waste energy. He's estimated we have only enough.
An idea flickers in his eyes, and he gets to his feet with grim determination.
It is time. All debris into disposal tubes.
Yes, Commander.
The body of the Centurion, too.
Decius goes. The commander looks down at his silver-haired companion.
Forgive me, my old friend, but I must use all my experience now to get home.
Kirk sits in the captain's chair, looking at the forward view screen.
Motion sensor signal stopped.
Ceasefire.
Debris scattering ahead, sir. We've hit him.
Mr. Spock.
Vessel wreckage. Metal molds, conduit, plastiform, and a body, Captain. However? Insufficient mass, sir.
What?
Simple debris. Not a vessel. A trick.
Go to sensor probes.
Nothing, sir. No motion out there at all.
We've lost them, Captain.
Kirk turns bitterly away.
Captain's log, stardate 1709.6. We are at the neutral zone. Have lost contact with the intruder. No reaction on our motion sensors, but believe the Romulan vessel to be somewhere close by, with all engines and systems shut down. The Enterprise is also playing the silent waiting game in hope of regaining contact.
Captain. I must make further repairs on the transfer coil. It's giving out again.
All right, Mr. Spock. We're quiet.
On the bridge, the lights have been dimmed to a red glow and all unnecessary systems switched off. On the warbird, Decius turns to the commander.
Now, 20 full cycles, Commander. Still no sign.
He looks up from his viewer.
I say he's been fooled. He must have gone off.
Shh. He is there. Somewhere. I feel it.
Captain's log, supplemental. Now motionless for 9 hours, 47 minutes.
Kirk lies on the bed in his cabin. The door opens and Yeoman Janice Rand comes in.
Can I get you something from the galley, sir? Coffee, at least?
Thank you, Yeoman. Bring it to the bridge. I'll be there in a moment.
Yes, sir.
Kirk sits up. McCoy comes in behind Janice. He and the captain smile at each other ruefully. Janice goes.
I wish I were in a long sea voyage somewhere. Not too much deck tennis, no frantic dancing, and no responsibility. Why me? I look around that bridge, and I see the men waiting for me to make the next move. And Bones, what if I'm wrong?
McCoy looks at him shrewdly.
Captain, I don't really expect an answer.
But I've got one. Something I seldom say to a customer, Jim. In this galaxy, there's a mathematical probability of 3 million Earth-type planets. And in all of the universe, 3 million galaxies like this. And in all of that, and perhaps more, only one of each of us. Don't destroy the one named Kirk.
He lifts his detaining hand off the captain's shoulder, and Kirk returns to the bridge. McCoy remains behind, a frown on his face. The Enterprise is stationary and running silent. On the bridge, Spock finishes his work under the weapons substation console, carefully closes the access hatch, and picks up his scanner. Kirk glances at him from the captain's chair. Spock reaches up to the console to pull himself upright and accidentally switches on the system.
What? It's all right.
Stiles glares at Spock.
It's all right.
Signal, Commander.
The Romulan commander's eyes gleam.
We have him. Move toward him.
On the Enterprise bridge, Stiles is still looking accusingly at Spock.
Power on.
Spock meets Stiles' eye.
Reverse course. He'll try to slip under us.
Matter of course, sir. Coming around, sir.
Phasers, fire.
Phasers, fire.
Again, the pattern of explosions bursts ahead of the Enterprise. On the Warbird.
Oh, Commander. How?
He's a sorcerer, that one. He reads the thoughts. Our fuel supply all but gone, and he stays out of reach.
We are beaten. Can it be true? The Praetor's finest and proudest flagship beaten.
Perhaps we can yet save your Praetor's pride for him.
More debris into the tubes.
Vicious.
We have some of the old-style nuclear warheads aboard.
Yes, Commander, but only for self-destruction.
Place one in with the debris. Proximity fuse.
Yes, Commander, at once.
More wrecking, sir. Scattering across our path.
Please fire.
Debris on our scanners.
Analysis, quickly.
Same type as before, sir. Except one metal-cased object.
Helm, hard over. Phasers, fire, point blank.
Phasers, fire!
A massive explosion rocks the Enterprise. Everyone is thrown from their positions and the lights go out. On the bridge of the Warbird, Decius looks up at the commander.
Glorious. Glorious.
Now we go home.
The commander steps away from the console.
They are at our mercy. Commander, I remind you of your duty.
Ignoring Decius's comment, the commander walks away.
Captain to sick bay.
McCoy here.
Casualties?
22 so far. Mainly radiation burns, mostly from the ship's outer areas. Could have been much, much worse, Captain.
Thank you, Doctor.
Kirk looks around as more of the lighting comes back on.
Report, Mr. Spock.
Nuclear device of some kind, sir. Our phasers detonated it less than 100 meters away.
Ship damage?
Mainly overloads and circuit burnouts.
Weapon status?
We've only the forward phaser room, Captain.
Fully operable, Scotty?
Yes, sir. But Specialist Tomlinson is manning it alone. No standby crew available.
Sir, my first assignment was in weapons control. Go. Lieutenant Uhura, take over navigation.
Yes, Captain.
Uhura smooths down her short red uniform dress, steps down into the well of the bridge, and sits at the navigation console. Sulu glances up briefly. Spock comes over to Kirk.
We have engine power now, Captain, if you'd like to move off and make repairs.
No, no. Maybe we can pull them back to our side of the neutral zone. Hold our position. Play dead.
Kirk wipes an anxious hand over his face. On the Romulan warbird...
Still no sign of movement, Commander.
We've damaged ourselves. The fuel reserve is gone.
Decius steps towards him.
And it is our duty to crush the Praetor's enemies.
I do not trust their captain.
We are in the neutral zone. They will not enter.
Decius stands to attention.
If you refuse, permit me the glory of the kill, Commander.
The commander takes a deep breath, his expression grim.
We will attack.
But on my order.
He stands and walks past Decius to the central console. The Enterprise lies motionless in space. Spock comes down to the phaser control room where Stiles and Tomlinson are making repairs.
Damage reports, Mr. Stiles.
Negative.
Will you require any assistance here?
Stiles throws Spock a withering look.
This time we'll handle things without your help, Vulcan.
Spock leaves without comment. As the doors close on him, Stiles notices a leak in the phaser coolant system.
Tomlinson!
Pink fumes are gushing from the junction box. Both men's eyes widen with fear. On the bridge, Kirk watches the viewscreen like a hawk.
Enemy vessel becoming visible, sir.
Forward phasers, stand by.
The Romulan ship appears ahead.
Fire! Fire!
Kirk opens all channels.
Stiles, can you hear me? Fire! Fire! Stiles, can you hear me? Fire!
Spock races back to phaser control. Stiles. In the fume-filled room, Tomlinson is unconscious. Stiles, lying on the floor, reaches up to the control desk, but collapses. Spock comes in, runs to the desk, brings the systems online, goes over to fire control, and fires the forward phasers. Romulan ship takes direct hits. On the Enterprise screen, the Romulan warbird wallows helplessly.
Mr. Sulu, prepare to move in on the Romulan vessel. Ship to ship, Uhura. Put this on the screen.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
The Enterprise view screen shows the Romulan commander slumped over the central console. Sparks and fumes fill the cramped bridge. Kirk watches the ship's death throes unflinchingly, but there's compassion in his eyes as the Romulan commander turns to the viewscreen to face him.
Captain, standing by to beam your survivors aboard our ship. Prepare to abandon your vessel.
No. No, that's not our way. I regret that we meet in this way. You and I are of a kind. In a different reality, I could have called you friend.
What purpose will it serve to die?
We are creatures of duty, Captain. I have lived my life by it. Just one more duty to perform.
Kirk goes to speak, then stops himself. The Romulan commander turns back to the central console and pulls a lever. The commander is hurled aside as the detonations start. Kirk watches with regret. Later, he joins Spock and McCoy in sickbay, where Stiles is lying on the examination table.
You all right, Mr. Spock?
Yes, very well, thank you, Captain.
And you, Mr. Stiles?
I'm alive, sir.
But I wouldn't be. Mr. Spock, he pulled me out of the phaser room. Saved my life. He risked his life, and after
I saved a trained navigator so that he could return to duty. I'm capable of no other feelings in such matters.
How many men did we lose, Bones?
Only one. Tomlinson. The boy who was going to get married this morning. His fiancée's at the chapel now.
Kirk nods and turns to go. Janice comes in.
We finally received an answer from Command Base, sir. They say they'll support whatever decision you have to make.
Kirk purses his lips grimly, then turns to Spock and McCoy with an ironic smile. He goes. Angela Martin is in the ship's chapel. The door opens, and Kirk stands silhouetted on the threshold. Angela is on her knees, her cheeks tear-stained, her eyes raised. Kirk comes towards her. She lowers her head, gets to her feet, looks over at him, then throws herself into his arms and buries her head in his chest.
Never makes any sense.
She looks up at him.
We both have to know that there was a reason.
She nods, pressing her lips together.
I'm all right.
Angela lowers her eyes and slowly walks out of the chapel. With a final, solemn glance around him, Kirk turns to leave. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.